Thank you. And I want to thank you for your invite, really. Thank you for being willing to have me with you today and to share with you from God's Word. It's a real privilege and pleasure. I'm in my normal life back home. I live down, you described it as south, as if you're in the north here. It's hardly the north. But I live down just outside London in a village called Chalfont St. Peter, where I'm one of the ministers in a church there. And it's my privilege and pleasure to get away from there for a week and be able to come and share with you. So this year, you're focusing on these words, your kingdom come. Your sort of verse for the year, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And there are two big words in your kingdom come. There's three words in total. There's one is your, that's fairly obvious what that means. But what is God's kingdom? And what does it mean for that kingdom to come? Those are two huge questions that I'm sure it would take far longer than just one year to try and get your head around completely. But what does it mean for God's kingdom to come in our world, in our lives, in our churches, in our communities, in the places that we work, in the places that we live? What does that mean? What does it really mean? Well, I'm not going to be able to answer that question fully this morning, so don't get your hopes up for that. But I do want to reflect a little bit on just a couple of aspects of what the kingdom looks like and what it might mean for that kingdom to come. I want to point something out first, though. Notice that the prayer isn't your church come. It's your kingdom come. I believe that God is far more interested in building his kingdom in the whole world, building his presence and his power and people submitting to his rule and reign. He's far more interested in that than he is just in building up churches, in making churches a bit bigger or a bit fancier or a bit more impressive. He's asking us to focus on building his kingdom. Because what happens when his kingdom is built is that his church grows anyway. If more people are coming to know him, being part of his family, then church is becoming bigger and thriving and becoming healthier. It just is a natural byproduct. But we need to be focused on the kingdom. So I want to read some verses to you from Luke chapter 14. If you have a Bible with you, I'd really encourage you to open it up and follow along. Luke chapter 14. Starting at verse 15, and it's going to be on the screen, but it's also in your in the church Bibles on page 1048. It's a parable that Jesus teaches after he's noticed the way that some people behave at a dinner party, and it starts like this. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." I want to pause just for a moment there. I promise I won't keep stopping and starting and stopping and starting. But when a verse starts with one of the dinner guests on hearing this, I want to know what it is that he heard and what it is that he's responding to. And Jesus has basically been talking at a party, and he's seen how a lot of people have immediately gone to the places of honour at this party. They've immediately sat in the places that are higher and that are more esteemed. They've wanted to put themselves into these impressive situations. And so Jesus responds by saying two things to them. The first is this. He says, "Look, let me give you some advice. When you go to a party, when you go to a banquet, sit in the lower places. Sit in the least impressive places, because then when the owner of the banquet, when the owner of the house comes along and he tells you to move up, you're being honoured. Whereas if you sit in the highest place and then someone who's more important than you comes in and you get pushed down, you're going to look a little bit silly." That's the first thing that Jesus says. He's basically saying, be humble. Because when you are humble, there is a chance for God to lift you up. If you put yourself first, then actually the only thing that God can do is humble you. And that maybe won't be so enjoyable for you. And the second thing he says is this. When you yourself are throwing a party, when you yourself are having a lunch or a dinner, don't just invite all the impressive people. Invite the people who society doesn't esteem. He's saying, again, be humble. And the reason he gives is that if you invite all the impressive people, then really what you're doing is you're hoping for a return invite. Whereas if you invite people who have no hope of giving you anything, then you're doing it just to show that they are valuable, just to show their worth. And God can reward you. And God can esteem you and honour you. He's talking about a life of humility, safe in the knowledge that God sees and God knows. and God is there, and God recognizes what you've done. So this person has heard Jesus say these two things, and then he comes out with, blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Basically, he's not understood what Jesus is talking about, because he's still thinking about being blessed by being invited by God to be part of his kingdom. He's still thinking, well, I'm a shoo-in. I'm definitely going to be one of these people who's going to be invited into God's kingdom, because why wouldn't he want me? And actually, he's just talking again in this sense of being blessed and being honoured and being esteemed. And he has a very sort of hierarchical, I'm at the top and these other people aren't kind of attitude to life. So Jesus tries again. I'm going to carry on reading now, and I won't stop until I get to the end of the passage this time. So carrying on at verse 16. Then Jesus said to him, someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a piece of land and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets. Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please accept my regrets. Another said, I've just been married and therefore I cannot come. So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes and of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. And the slave said, sir, what you have ordered has been done and there's still room. Then the master said to the slave, go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner. This is an amazing passage. This is a passage where there is so much in there, and I couldn't possibly do justice to everything that's here in the time that we've got. So if you're happy to stay for 3 or 4 hours, we can do that. But otherwise, I'll just try and pull out just a couple of things that I want to share from this. And one is to look at this through the lens of the guests who are invited to the dinner. And the other is to look at it through the lens of the servant or the slave who is doing the inviting. So let's start with the guests, because our friend who says, blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of heaven, hasn't understood what Jesus is saying. He hasn't understood that actually it is not about being better than other people and therefore being invited into the kingdom of God and looking impressive because you have been. It's not about that at all. And so Jesus talks about another banquet where there are guests invited. And there are 3 rounds of guests invited to this dinner. It starts off with presumably the most impressive people, the people who you'd expect to be invited to this party. Invites were sent out to all the usual suspects, all the people who you'd want to come to your party. And what do? Well, they come back with their excuses. Actually, I've just made an investment in some land, or I've just got some new cattle, or I'm actually just been married. And they have reasons why actually they've got better things to do than be part of this kingdom. They've got a better thing to do than accept the invite. Now, I want to say first that in the context that Jesus is speaking, I think this is actually speaking to the whole issue of Jews and Gentiles. That actually the gospel was given first to the Jewish people. The invitation to come through Jesus to the Father was given to the Jewish people. And by and large, the Jewish people were rejecting that message. And Jesus is saying, look, my people, God's people, the people who God has journeyed with for years and years and years, they don't recognize me in him. They don't recognize him in me. And actually, I'm going to throw open the doors. I'm going to open this invitation to all people. So I think that's what it was talking about originally. But I don't think that means it has nothing to say to us. Because the truth is, each of us, every single day, say to God in many different ways, actually, there's something to me that's more important than you today. There's something else that I'm focused on. There's something else that actually, yeah, okay, I'll come back to you, God. You know, it's not that I don't want you, but it's just that today I want this thing a little bit more. Today, I want this thing. Today, I want my marriage a little bit more than I want you. Today, I want my career a little bit more than I want you. Today, I want my money a little bit more than I want you. I do it every day. I do it every single day. In big ways or in small ways, I say to God, actually, thank you for the invite. I'll get back to you. I'll enjoy being a citizen of your kingdom tomorrow. I'll really go for it tomorrow. I'll really commit to that tomorrow, but today I've got this other thing that I kind of want to do. I'm sure I'm not alone in that. I'm sure we could all point to things in our life that if we look at them and we actually decided to rank the priorities in our life, there are things that would come above God. There are things that would come above being, as we've heard, whole life disciples. There are parts of our life that we think, actually, this bit is kind of a bit more off limits. I'm happy to go for it, happy to be part of a church, happy to be involved in this community, but there comes a point when actually at work it's a little bit tricky. So I'll kind of leave it on the side there. In our own ways, big or small, we find ourselves saying to God, okay, with regrets, I'll come back to you at a later date. So that's the first round of guests. And I think sometimes we can all see ourselves in these people. Then we come to the second set of guests. Because the servant comes back to the master and says, look, actually, a lot of people have given excuses and there's lots of room left at the banquet. And so he says, okay, go out. Go out and find people who would ordinarily never be invited to a party. He uses language to describe them, which is really, he's clearly using the language of the person who's asking this question. We know from the way that Jesus behaved and the people that he spent time with, he did not see the kinds of people that he mentions, the poor, the blind, the lame. He doesn't see those as people not worth spending time with. But obviously this person who's asking the question does, and so he decides to speak this person's language. And basically what this master says to this servant is, go to all the down and outs. Go to all the people who the rest of the world has no place for and invite them in to the party. The people that I invited, they don't want to come. Okay. The important thing for me is that people are enjoying this party. People are enjoying this banquet. People are part of this kingdom. So bring them in. Invite them in. The people who are weak. The people who couldn't host a party. The people who no one else wants. Invite them. Now, it's tricky, because I don't want to see myself in those people, but I feel like the way the story is told, I have to. The way that Jesus tells the story, if we're anyone in this story, we're these people. We want to be seen as the impressive people who are invited to the party on our own merit and can decide whether we will or not, and obviously we wouldn't be like the people in this story, because we would accept Jesus' invitation first off the mark. But actually that's not the way the story is written. The way the story is written is this: the people who come into, the people who enjoy the presence of this master, the people who get to be part of this banquet, people who get to be part of the kingdom, come not on their own merits, but because they know they need it. They know the party doesn't need them, they know they need the party. Every so often you'll hear people level accusations at Christians, something along the lines of, Christianity, God, religion, it's just a crutch so you can get through your life. It's a crutch for weak people. My response to that isn't actually to argue and say, no, it's not a crutch, because blah, 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 and to try and do an academic argument. My response to that is no. Faith in my life is not a crutch. A crutch is something that props me up when I'm not strong enough. It's far more than that to me. My faith, my relationship with Jesus isn't a crutch. It's a life support machine. It's something which, if I were not connected to it, I would be dead. That's what a living relationship with Jesus is. Knowing that we need him for everything. We need him for all that we have. We need him for purpose. We need him for meaning. We need him for real joy. We need him for all of those things. We need him for our very lives. That's the way we have to come to Jesus. We don't get to come as strong people. We have to come as people who can't do it by ourselves. It's the only way to Jesus. We don't come fixed. We don't come holy. We don't come pure. We come broken and in need of help. We have to keep throwing ourselves back on his grace. So that's the second round of people. These people who are down and outs and who God says, I want to include you anyway, not because of your merit, but because of your need. Then the servant comes back and says, look, we've done that. And there's a lot more people here now, but actually there's still room. And so the master says, go out again. Go out again and bring in more people. Because I want my house to be filled. I want it to be full. We know from other parts of the New Testament where we're told that God's desire is that all people would be saved. His desire is that all people would come into this community, would come into this kingdom. His desire is that everyone is there. There's no one that he doesn't want to be part of that. So we see people who think they're a little bit too good for it or have other things that are more important. Then we have people who see their deep need. And then we see in this final round the master's own heart, own desire, that actually we would never stop this job of coming back and getting more and more and more people. The truth is that this banquet in this story is a one-time thing. There comes a point when the banquet's happened and it's too late to be invited. In our world, we haven't got there yet. In our world, this banquet is still to happen. But there will be a day when Jesus comes back and he says, food's ready, the banquet started, who's here? And at that point, that's it. And that's something we all need to decide, whether we accept that invitation for ourselves. But it also should give us some sense of urgency to say, actually, we need to be inviting folk to this banquet as well. Which kind of brings me to the second part of what I want to say, looking at this through the lens of the servant, the slave in the story, the one who's doing the going and inviting and fetching and bringing more people in. Ultimately, I think the person who this represents within Scripture most is Jesus. The Father is the one who is throwing this party. It is the Father's kingdom, and he sends the Son to draw people into it. He sends the Son into our world, into our highways and byways and roads and lanes, in order to pull us in order to invite us. But Jesus has a body on earth today, the body of Christ, and that is us. And it's a kind of topsy-turvy kind of kingdom, because it's a kingdom where you get to be part of it not based on your own merit, but actually because of your lack of merit, because of your need. But it's also a topsy-turvy kingdom because the kind of people who get to invite other people into the kingdom don't have to be that impressive. You don't have to be a sort of fully trained up, been in the kingdom for a very, very long time, gone through all the training courses, risen your way up to the highest ranks, and then you can be effective at inviting people into the kingdom. It's a kingdom where we're all part of that. It's not a kingdom for experts, it's a kingdom for those who are grateful to be there and want other people to come in as well. Charles Spurgeon, great Baptist preacher, once said, "May we never forget that when we invite people to Jesus, we do so as one beggar telling another beggar that they found where they can get some bread. We don't ever get to the point where we have made it, where we're sorted, where we're perfect, where we can start inviting people on our own merit. The day we start trying to do that is the day that we fail. The day that we try to invite people into the kingdom of God because we're impressive is the day that the kingdom of God's going to struggle a bit because we're not that impressive. Sorry. The day that we start trying to invite people into churches because the churches that we've made are really, really impressive is the day we're probably going to start failing because there's people out there who can do a lot. If you want to put on a show, you go to the West End. If you want to see a great performance, you go to the cinema. You go and see a stand-up comic. If that's what we're inviting people to, then we haven't really got anything, but we have something that the world doesn't have. That's our unique selling point. That's the thing that we can offer that no one else can, and it's a relationship with Jesus. It's being part of the kingdom of God that has always been and will always be. So how can you be like this servant? Where can you be like this slave, this person who's going out? What skills do you have? What are the things that God has made you good at? What is it that gets you excited and passionate or angry and frustrated? What is it that you're passionate about? And what opportunities do you have? Where are you most of the time? What spheres of influence do you move in? Earlier on when I was doing that all-age talk and I was sort of jokingly saying, well, why wasn't I invited to this party and why wasn't I invited to that party? The truth is, because I don't know any of the people that were hosting those parties, but you do. There are people that I will never be able to reach with the gospel, but you can. Back in my own church, there are people in my own community living in the same village as me that, realistically, I'm never going to be as effective at reaching as the members of the congregation that I serve. If we try and professionalize this job, then we're drastically reducing our workforce. Or as if we all say, what are the opportunities that I have? Where am I going to be this time tomorrow? Who am I going to be having a coffee with? Who am I going to be speaking with? That is how this kingdom grows. We all go out into the lanes and roads and byways and highways that we exist in anyway. We use those passions, we use those skills, we use those spheres of influence in order to come alongside people and then tell them about this great banquet that we've been invited to and that we can't wait to attend, and ask them if they want to come along with us for the journey. I find this passage deeply, deeply challenging. Deeply, deeply encouraging and inspiring, but really very, very challenging. Because I see areas in my life where actually I have kind of put God on second rung. There are things that I'm pursuing more fervently. And I need to work on that for myself. But I also see opportunities that God has put in my place. I see ways in which he's saying to me, Dave, this is something you can do. This is where you can reach this person because you know them, because they've come to trust you, because you've invested in them, because they've invested in you. This is someone that you can share the good news of me with, in your lifestyle, with your words, through the way you behave, and by telling them that I love them. So I want to ask a couple of simple questions. Where in your life do you think your priorities might need to shift a little bit? Where is it for you as an individual? Where is it for you as a church that your priorities actually need to be brought a little bit more into alignment with where God would have them? Where is it that you're saying, we'll come back to you on that, God, but actually at the minute we've kind of got this project going on, or I've got this thing going on in my life. I'll come back to you. Where is it that needs to be worked around? And the other is simply this. How are you inviting people to this banquet? Who are they? Where are they? What kinds of people are they? Again, that's an individual question, but also for you as a church family. Because it's important that that's being done together, and I think that looks like things like a night shelter, where people who the rest of the world maybe doesn't give any time to are given time and value and honour. What else could it look like? And what can it look like for you as an individual sat there? Sat here today, together, what is it that we could all commit to? Where do our priorities need to shift? Who can we reach? Because ultimately, this story ends with a banquet, with a feast, with a party, with a celebration, where the King is present with us, and we get to enjoy being citizens of his kingdom, knowing that he will always see us, always notice us, always honour us. That's the kind of party that I want to go to. Can I pray for you, and then we're going to sing a song? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that your desire is to know us. Your desire is to have a relationship with us. I want to thank you that you weren't happy dining alone in that great banquet hall, but you wanted us to be with you. But not just us. You want all people to be with you on that day. So I pray that you would place right now into our hearts, into our minds, where it is that you want us to move, who it is that you want us to reach, how it is that you want to use each and every one of us to be inviting people into that great banquet, that great party. I pray that you would help us to hear your voice in that, that we would be directed by your Spirit. and that we would partner with you in the building of your kingdom here on earth, now and in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.